Today is the 16th of December, 2020, Rancho Murrieta Community Services District. It is a regular board meeting. What I'd like to do for the agenda is call the meeting to order. So the first step would be, can I have a roll call vote to ensure we have a quorum, Amelia?
Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Here.
Director Janko.
Here.
Director Butler.
Here.
And Director Pohl, are you on the call?
Okay, no worries. We're going to move to item two, and I move this up. It's the administration of oath of office. This is for Director Merchant. He ran a rigorous campaign, although limited by COVID. So this is to fill the vacancy that we had from the November elections. So with that said, Amelia, instead of swearing at him, would you do the swearing in for the oath of office, please?
Gladly. Director Merchant, please repeat after me. For the Office of Director, Rancho Murrieta Community Services District.
For the Office of Director, Rancho Murrieta Community Services District.
I, John Merchant, do solemnly swear.
I, John Merchant, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
And that I will, don't make that go away. And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
Thank you very much. And at your leisure, if you would kindly visit me so that I can get your signature on this document, sir.
Yes. And will you also provide the instructions about the defending part? I was hoping there would be some instructions with that.
Okay.
And gotcha. It's a deal.
It's a deal.
Okay.
John, congratulations. We'll get you a board packet, try and get you up to speed. It's the least we can do. So with that, moving on to item number three, consider adoption of the agenda. I make a motion. I'll need a second to have adoption of today's agenda. Do I have a second?
Second.
Yeah. Okay, Randy did it. Call,
please.
Okay, Randy, roll call vote. Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
And Director Butler. Director Butler, have you gone off the call? Director Butler looks like she logged herself off.
That's fine. We have a quorum with that. So, at this point, I would like to go into closed session. So if everyone will bear with us, we're going to move hosts. So it'll be a couple of moments and then we'll enter into closed session. Thank you.
We'll see everybody who's not going into closed session at 5 p.m. The first thing that I will do is pause the recording.
December 16th, 2020, regular board meeting. It was called to order at 1600 hours or 4 o'clock. We took care of the items 2 and 3 on the agenda. Item 4, nothing to report. We got an update from staff and legal counsel on the union negotiations with operating engineers, local number 3. With that, we're gonna start with item number 5. Open session reports is done. We're going on to item number 6, consent calendar. Board members, we've had an opportunity to look at this. I would like to make a motion. We accept the consent calendar as is. Can I have a second?
Hey, Tim, it's John. I have one question before we do that, or we can pull it out. I don't know how you want to handle that.
Sure. Go ahead. What is it?
Just and we can get the answer for this down when Cindy does her finance report. But on the investment report that shows our banking balance for reserves at $8 million, I'm having some trouble reconciling that with the page. It's between the page 25 and 28 reports, where I keep adding up stuff and get $7.5 million, and then I add up another thing and get $8.2 million. So I don't know where we want to do this. We can do it in Cindy's report, but part of it is in the consent calendar. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do here.
Okay, I understand what you're asking. I know that we made some changes. The general manager talked about our funds and where they're at and what liquidity we needed and some of those types of things. So since you noted it, we can take it as consent calendar and then bring it up specifically with Cindy. And then if we need to give direction to staff, we can then do that. And then we can have amended cash balance for the November 30th timeline. And we can do that and just update the documents at that point in time if it's not clear enough for you when Cindy gives her report, if you're comfortable with that.
Yeah, sure, I'm fine with it. I just have a question. We can do that further down the road here. It's good.
Great. So I'm requesting a second.
Yeah, I'll second it, it's John.
Okay, Amelia, roll call please.
Thank you very much, Director Nabe.
Aye.
Director Janko. Director Janko, have we lost you? Oh, let me unmute him. Director Janko, I will skip over you while you unmute yourself and go to Director Pohl.
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Janko, you can send me a message in chat. Oh, you're there. Hello.
Aye.
Aye, welcome. And let's also note that Director Pohl has joined the meeting because he must have chimed in at some point during closed session.
He did, Amelia. He was just maybe 10 seconds late, if that, really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank you. On to item number 7, staff reports. We're going to start off with the GM report. Tom, please.
Coming.
Good evening, everyone. This is Tom Hennig, the general manager for the district, and I'm going to go through my report right now. I'm not going to read it all verbatim, but I do want to say that I want to give an update where we're at with our COVID response. So far since March, we've had 3 employees who were tested positive for COVID, and we have 5 employees who have taken a total of 247 hours off related to COVID issues. At this point in time, we're about $6,500 spent on COVID-related time off. And if you recall, we were required to front everybody a total of 80 hours additional sick leave for COVID-related issues. And at the time we estimated the expenditure would be between $10,000 and $20,000. as far as we know right now, that 80 hours is set to expire December 31st. However, new Cal OSHA guidelines are extremely onerous on the district, and it's complicated. OSHA is playing a catch-up game with enforcement and installing regulations against governmental and private agencies. I think it mostly governmental agencies with pretty stringent requirements to allow employees to address any kind of COVID-related issues. We are currently finishing up changes to our IIPP, Amelia. Tell me what that is again. I forget right off the top of my head. I lost it.
It's the injury prevention.
Injury and illness prevention program, IIPP. So we're updating that to include the OSHA requirements. And it's kind of scary that what OSHA is requiring governmental agencies to do without providing funding. So this is clearly a major unfunded mandate that we're all going through. So that's my update on COVID. I want to talk next about Laguna Joaquin. We received two proposals.
Tom, yes. Excuse me. Could I request that at the close of this calendar year, that Amelia update the document she's been providing for us from time to time on the COVID issue, where it was total money spent by the district, staff time, all that stuff, and we just close it out for the calendar year, and then we can just get an update in the January board packet, please.
Absolutely. We've been tracking all of our expenditures. We've yet to see funding come to special districts through the state. State agencies, county agencies, city agencies have all received sort of a COVID care package.
Right, right.
I have yet to see that for special districts. There's probably 5,000 special districts in the state. And they're probably a little nervous about opening up that program, but eventually they will. And we're tracking all of our COVID-related expenditures from day one.
Right. And so if we could just have, because we're going to have to do it obviously for the fiscal year, but if we could just get a snapshot for the end of the calendar year, and we can just throw it in your GM report for the next board meeting, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
COVID snapshot. Got it. The next thing I want to tell you is that Laguna Joaquin, it's been a hot subject for quite some time, and that's me not turning my phone off. I apologize. Make sure your phones are on silent, please. So we got the two proposals, Kevin Hubred and Rod Hart, Paul Stevenson, and I. We scored the two proposals, and we selected Stratus as the company that we were going to recommend, Stratus Environmental, Inc. Last month, the board of the CSD committed to contribute $30,000 from drainage reserve funds to participate in the proposed agreement, and the bid from Stratus was about $110,000. Kevin Hubred, the general manager for the RMA, took this contract to the RMA board last night, and the RMA board has decided to not approve funding for their contribution of the consulting work. So basically it kind of kills the process of hiring Stratus to do the environmental studies on the health of and how to fix Laguna Joaquin. And their decision was that they could better use those funds to implement products or solutions that have been suggested in the past. So this kind of closes this chapter is as far as I'm concerned, and from what I understand from the RMA, they understand that if they want to treat the detention basin for the midge flies next year, that's their choice. And that the district is, I'm sure we're still willing to contribute towards the solution that, you know, we're out of the game of putting material into Laguna Joaquin to try and handle the midge fly problem. And we've kind of just turned it over to the RMA. My suggestion, is going to be to take that $30,000, which we committed, and possibly start doing some site work on improving the drainage from the district properties, from the properties within the RMA, as it finds its way into Laguna Joaquin, primarily those two inlets, the north and the eastern inlet, and go upstream and try to do some mitigation of the harmful materials or the material that goes into Laguna Joaquin causing the problem. And I think that's in concurrence with what Kevin Hubrid would agree with as what we should do. So is there any other questions on Laguna Joaquin?
I have
a comment, Tom, if I might.
Okay.
I'm not sure how to approach this, but I've been on the receiving end of the water agency when we have deposited substances into the Consumas River. And I just want to make sure RMA understands that the overflow of that drainage basin is into the river. I want to make sure that they understand that the community as a whole, CSD in particular, is liable for any implications that might occur as a result of something that doesn't belong in that river getting in there. I don't know how you want to handle that, but you know, if they want to be water experts, I don't want to be standing in front of the water board again and trying to fend off another $250,000 fine.
You know, John, I agree with you. And I think it's important to, as we go upstream, so to speak, from the detention basin to the contributors of water and materials that find their way into the silt, I think we need to do a very good job of making sure we're not depositing any material that doesn't belong in it into the basin that eventually goes into the Cosumnes River. So
yeah, I don't have any real recommendation here on how we should do that. But the other part of that started the process rolling here was our consideration for the organic requirements of the farmers below us, the ranchers below us. And, you know, that's another issue in itself. And I want to make sure they really understand over there that this is a little bit more complicated than what it sounds like. You know, and if down the road, if they want to pay the fine, they're welcome. But I'm not comfortable at all with where we are right now.
Director Merchant, thank you. I've had conversation with the general manager, and before we close out the CSD portion of this process for the MIDGFLY, we are going to have a formal meeting with RMA, and then it'll be formalized in a document as well. I anticipate moving forward anything that RMA is going to be doing, and again, we'll get this all detailed out. It would be run through the improvements committee and those types of things. But what the general manager was saying, for the largest part, our box is checked. And we're just going to move forward as a water district, working our way upstream, as the general manager said. But yeah, we have to formalize our exit strategy coming out of that, or coming out of this, and we'll do this in the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
Yeah, great, Tim. I concur wholeheartedly. Just at the end of this process, I want it all in writing, every bit of it.
Yeah, and we just have to sit down and work out some of the details and just make sure we're all on the same page, and we'll get that done. The GM already has some thoughts on that in the process. So now that we know the direction they're going to go, and again, we're always going to assist and do those things because that's what we do as a community service district, but we are going to formalize some of our understandings and expectations. So go ahead, Tom.
I do have a comment, if I may.
You may.
Les Clark has said, if the Stratus proposal available to public for review and consideration of future efforts? And he has a second part to his comment. RMA committed to once again forming a community-based ad hoc committee to address.
CSD should have a representative at every meeting of those groups, should include RMCSD.
Thank you for that. Tom, you can answer the question on the RFP, but as far as the other items, basically the way I see it moving forward, RMA can do an ad hoc committee. I think it rests with our improvements committee. So we'll liaison somewhere across there, but with RMA taking the lead agency role, ours is a support role. I would think it would just fall back under the improvements committee. So you can answer the other question, Tom, please.
So the other question, I'm not sure if I can legally provide it and post it on our webpage, I will. But because the award was not made, I'm not sure if that falls into a different category. So I will definitely put it on the webpage if I'm able to, but I'm going to check with Dick Shanahan tomorrow to verify.
Yeah, we can take care of that offline, and then if we can, we'll post it. That's the reason I kicked it to you. Sorry, because I thought if we didn't act on it, it was proprietary information. So yeah, we can get that all offline. Thank you.
It was provided to the RMA board for their review, but again, I don't know if it's a public document if we don't make the award. So I will find out, and I will definitely post it if at all possible.
Perfect. No worries.
Okay. Go ahead. So the next item is, I'm really, really happy to let everybody know that we have hired retired annuitant Tina Talamontes as the interim security chief. Tina is somebody I worked with in the past at the city of Stockton when I was doing the budget for the police department, and later as running the IT department. As you can see, Tina has been very involved with the city of Stockton as a watch commander for the field operations division. She was in personnel and training for a long time. She was an equal opportunity employment officer. She has a great deal of experience in working with city council members and members of the public and public groups. And while we're awaiting for the return of Jeff Werblum, Security Chief Werblum, Tina is going to help us to stabilize security, to work on the overall morale of security, and start to go the direction we need to go as far as how we handle the security cameras, the body cameras, our policies for using stuff like that. So I'm very happy that Tina has agreed to join us. And some of you may have already seen her because she's been working already for a couple days. Today's her third day. And if you are into custom cars, she has a beautiful restored 65 Impala that maybe she'll drive to work someday. So welcome, Tina. And from this, after today, Tina will be dealing with the with all the security reporting and dealing with security questions. Any questions? Okay. So, and just basically my outreach, I communicate on a regular basis with the Murrieta Village Association, the RMA. Paul is working with the Groundwater Authority folks. And then the Water Authority groups. And then other district business, I have a call set up with the Public Information Officer for the County of Sacramento tomorrow, we're gonna talk and look at the possibilities of piggybacking on top of the county's next door account. And basically what we would try to do is we try to just compartmentalize all the addresses that we're responsible for and seeing if the county will let us post important messages within the next door environment. So this is an evolving process, and I just wanna update the board on that. The security opinion survey, there's been a little bit of setback in my schedule over the past couple weeks. And so the security opinion survey, we have yet to set a date to review those four responses to our request for quotes. I do have a member of the commercial area agreed to help us, and we'll talk to the RMA and CSD staff and go through that. I hope to have those items scored by January, and hopefully we can get pretty close to on schedule after that. But again, I apologize for some personal issues that have kind of taken over my time over the past couple of weeks. And then, so same to do with the activities related to the Melrose bond. One of the most complicated financial issues we've had to unwind with my time at the district. We hope to have the report to the finance committee in a couple weeks in January. So that bond issue with the developer who's responsible for the majority of the funds is currently up to date with the county. So that's really good news. We're no longer worried about not meeting the bond obligations at this point in time. So that's good news. Look for information at the next finance meeting. And then the joint security meeting is always a subject we want to talk about soon. And then we're hoping to release a reserve study RFP in January and bring something back to the finance committee in February. We have two engineering type services RFPs, one to do engineering work and inspections to replace what we had going on with Coastland, whose contract expires in April. Those are in final draft form and they're waiting for my final review. And then they'll hit the street. And we're also putting out an RFP for electrical services over a period of a 3-year agreement to try and get a better cost, a better price for the electrical services we need related to our SCADA and our various operations in the water treatment process. And then any questions? Okay. And then you can see the training opportunities. We'll see if any of these actually occur in person. If they do, I look forward to building relationships with other special district leadership in the future. And then
Tom, would you schedule yourself or a staff representative and then probably Tina as well for the emergency preparedness training one, which is a webinar?
Absolutely.
And we can have, if we can just get it calendarized and then we can have more conversation offline. Thank you. Continue.
Ms. Butler has a comment.
I was just wondering if I could be scheduled for the board member best practices.
And Linda, I'll do it. I'll take care of that for you, Tom.
Thank you. And I've tried signing up Director Janko for that, but they keep rejecting them. So that would be good if you go. Thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
And we might want to schedule Martin for the Brown Act Principles webinar. I'm not sure he's gotten received the Brown Act training just yet.
I don't think he has, because that's the annual stuff that Mr. Shanahan does. Just tell him it starts a half hour sooner than what it actually does, please.
Got it. Okay, moving on down the road, down the screen for employee announcements, promotion, commendation, and kudos. I just want to express my appreciation for district staff, security, administration, operations. Everybody has been working extra hours, canceling family events, like pretty much everybody should be anyway, but they have been called in on days off. They have been extremely flexible with a great degree of enthusiasm and positivity during these really, really crazy times. We talked about how difficult it was to get through the Thanksgiving holiday weekend when we had a gate officer and a patrol officer off on COVID-related leave. And it's with vacant positions and with these, it's been a real challenge to keep everything staffed. And then we've utilized our contract with the PDF security system folks to help keep the gates open and to keep patrol on shift. So I just really want to tell everybody what a great job they've been doing. And we do on a regular basis internally, but I just wanted to publicly put it out there for we have about 25 people on this call. So the other thing is letting everybody know that we close at 2 o'clock on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So district offices were closed. We'll put it on the website and there'll be a note on the door. And that concludes the general manager report. Is there any questions?
I don't, Amelia, do you have any hands?
I don't have any hands up and I don't have any chats.
Okay, thank you. Tom, thank you for the report. And please, moving forward, do not apologize for if some things aren't meeting our time frames for various reasons. I think everyone understands that. Moving on to item 7B, I believe, Cindy, this is the administration finance report. And before you get going, there was a question from one of the directors. So as you go through this, could you just run us through the reserve funds balance and some of that? So it's all yours.
Okay. Good evening. This is Cindy Chow, the controller. Before I start my presentation, I would like to ask, are there any questions regarding the bills paid listing and the bills paid memo and the budget to actual worksheets attached below? No?
No.
Okay. Yes?
There are no questions, Cindy.
I first of all, I would like to thank Richard for pointing out that we overpaid for license and registration when we purchased the F-150 work truck. Mm-hmm. Since we received your email, we reached out to the dealer, and once we receive the registration and the license plate, we will provide the dealer with a copy of the registration and they will cut us a check. And when the check is received and deposited, we will let you know. Thank you very much. We really appreciate that. All right, so I'm just gonna go point out the financial highlights in November 2020. In November 2020, we still only have one pay agreement so far. And we will continue to call the customers and help them manage their accounts and reduce their financial burden as they recover from the COVID-19 crisis. And next item, in November 2020, we received $121,514 from the developer for 8 connections in Marietta Gardens 2. And as of December 10th, 2020, the outstanding balance is $47,506. The number of delinquent accounts is 48. And we have a detailed list of these accounts. Michelle can answer any of your questions relating to this section. And moving on to the reserve.
I believe that Ms. Butler has a question.
Okay.
I see that they're divided into properties that made a payment in February, March, et cetera. I was curious about if we know what type of property it is. Is it homes? How many homes? How many undeveloped property, how many?
Most of them, this is Michelle Hammond, are residential.
Okay.
I believe there's either one, possibly two undeveloped properties. And a lot of the properties that are in the first line are already locked off and have been locked off.
Okay.
Before COVID.
Okay.
All right.
So most of it's residential.
Yes.
Yes. Moving on to reserve. In November 2020, mm-hmm. The balance of district's reserve accounts is $6,671,820, which is an increase of 88,635 compared with October 2020, which is consist of what we collected from utility bills of $57,577 plus what we collected from hookup fees and connection fees in November 2020 of $67,798, offset by reserve spending of $36,741 in November 2020 on fixed assets. Did I answer your question?
I have a question, Cindy, if I might. It's John.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
Okay. And we don't have to do this now. I have the question now. You can bring this to the finance meeting in January. But when I look at the bank report, we're showing a reserve balance in there of $8,207,000. And that's good because you guys have moved some money around and we discussed doing that over the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. When I look at the $66,71 that you have in reserves, and I try and reconcile that with the bank balance, I add in the interfund, which is like $874,000, and I get $75,45. So I guess in January, if you would just take a look at that, if you could reconcile where the other $700,000 is, I'd appreciate it. And that's all we need to do for now. But I'm just trying to understand what the difference is off the bank reserve versus the balance sheet reserve plus the interfund, the money that we borrowed against the water plant.
Yes.
So just for the meeting, it's fine. I'm sure you know where the $700,000 is, but I don't, and I'll feel better when I do. Thanks. Yes,
I will give you a detail. No problem. All right, moving on to revenues and expenditures. Yes, here. So in as of November 30th, 2020, water and solid waste charges continually to be more than what we have budgeted by a small margin. Sewer, drainage, and security charge revenues are below budget by a small percentage, which is really comparable with last month's number. And the district's overall expenditures as of November 2020 are $437,377 below budget. If anybody has any questions, please.
Amelia, do you have any hands?
I have a chat. Ms. Crystal Matters, good evening. In reviewing the list of expenditures, could you identify from which category legal settlements are paid?
I understand the question twofold. I don't know what legal settlements are in question. And then item two, if it's dealing with personnel, that's a personnel issue. So we normally don't talk about personnel issues. So I'll let the GM think that through for a moment as we go through the rest of this report, and then we'll finalize our answer at the end of the fiscal report.
Can I say something? Regarding that question, I believe we don't use any operating budget to pay any legal settlements.
Correct. And I don't know what legal settlement they're even talking about. So I'm fine with it. I'll just codify the answer at the end of your report, Cindy. Continue on, please.
Okay. So if nobody has any questions, this brings us to the end of my presentation. And please don't hesitate to contact me after this meeting regarding any questions you may have relating to this report.
Cindy, thank you very much. I think you get what Director Merchant was looking for at the next committee meeting. That'll be perfect for us. I'd like to thank Richard for his due diligence in the revenue expenditure that we can get credited back for. It's kind of fun to actually see that kind of response from the community. So Richard, thank you. Moving on to 7C, Tom, it's back to you, please.
Thank you, Tim. I'm very happy to say, I hope this is my last reiteration of the security report with Tina on board. I expect her to be able to start giving these in the future. Right off the bat, if you can go down quite a bit, Cindy. I mean, Amelia, there you go. We have a lot of stuff we have going on. And again, Tina will be picking most of these up, if not all of them. We're going to continue to hold the meetings. The VIPS truck now has labels on it. So if you see a little white Ford Ranger pickup with the star on it and some of the district information, that's it. We're in the process of getting quotes to install the correct light bars and the mounting for the computer and stuff. I think it's a great use of a vehicle that's 14 years old and has 12,000 miles on it while we continue to pour a bunch of money into those Jeep, I forget what kind of Jeeps they are, but they're really heavily expensive because they're breaking down and they're not very well made for what we need to do here at Rancho Marietta. We have replaced the entry gate at the south, the entry bar at the south gate. And then we continue to work on the Lago Drive security gate. The PDF staff are continuing to support us very well during the time that we have vacancies. We are currently completing the background on a new gate officer, and we have a couple good applicants for patrol officers that we're looking into right now. We did complete the background on Tina. She passed. We've ordered upgraded body cam equipment, and we're going to take a look at our body cam policy to make sure the equipment and the policy can meet our requirements. Our practice of how we've been using the body cameras needs to be upgraded and turned into a more professional process. So that's what we're working on, and that's one of Tina's primary assignments to begin with. We talk about the COVID test. We went 3 hours on swing shift without patrol coverage on Thanksgiving Day. So that's the hours of like 4 to 6, 4 to 7. I think most everybody was taking a nap at that time because we did not get a single call. I know I was taking a nap at that time. And then we're working to upgrade the security cameras to make sure they're all working correctly. Primarily, we want to be able to make sure we can identify people as they're coming through the gates and stuff. We're looking at utilizing our cameras to help us with our underage cart drivers, golf cart drivers. And then we continue to work with the Rancho Marietta on association on activity, security related activity. There is a long list of incidents included in the report today. There was discussion about, you don't have to show them yet, but we can go through those in a minute, about how much information we're providing in these public meetings. So just to be clear, we post our incidents on the webpage every week. Amelia does that. And Sergeant Tompkins is working with the fire safety folks to develop access points for fire and other resources in the south area. At the Marietta Village, we continue to work on their getting the cameras over there on Marietta Drive set up. We are currently engaged in a process of running electricity to that pole, that light pole that is just outside the village. It's strategically located right in the center of the island as you go into the village. So that's going to be very useful, as well as installing two cameras on Marietta that can track the traffic as it goes either way on Marietta Drive. And that is just a force multiplier we've needed for a long time to be able to see what kind of cars are going back and forth. If we have incidents, we need to look at our cameras. And then shortly, we're going to start issuing citations for the handicap parking and other type of fire zone parking in the commercial and the area on the other side of the Highway 16 from the gated part of Rancho Marietta. And then I'm not going to read through all these incidents of notes, but I will point out that we have included the before not included BB gun incident at Stonehouse Park. To be clear, we did not include that before because that report was not closed correctly. We figured out that that was the issue and we properly closed it, and that way now it shows up. So if anybody has any questions about any of these issues, as well as the 40 some pages of, go ahead and scroll down, Amelia, as well as the 40 some pages of daily incidents that we post on our webpage each week. I don't think it's valuable to post this every day and, you know, as part of the board packet, but I do want to point out that these are not hidden. They are published every week and on our webpage. And then I think that's it for security.
Very good. Tom, I have a couple of issues, or not issues, I'm sorry, a couple of questions. Thanks, staff, for the gate access on the north for Thanksgiving. We probably need to get out through RMA and ourselves that process for the fast pass stuff so we can get Christmas Day. It'll probably be busy, maybe not as busy as in past years, but we just kind of need to get that out through RMA as well. The other item of note, we have a couple of residents within the community that have probably over the last 2 years been just doing an outstanding job when graffiti is noticed either by CSD, by the association, or residents. They are absolute Johnny on the spot. In the past, I would send it to the security chief. Sometimes it would get a little sideways, but just out of lack of staffing, we did have a minor graffiti incident earlier this month, and it was taken care of within a couple of hours. So I just want everyone to understand that and to thank the two residents that really go above and beyond to take care of those issues. Amelia, do you have any hands, chats, high fives?
I have a chat from Les Clark. I'm getting back over there. Thanks, Tim. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I have a chat from Crystal Matter first. Thanks, Tim, for your response regarding legal settlements. I understand you or Tom will provide the expenditure category information by the end of tonight's meeting. To be clear, I am not requesting privileged information.
So, Amelia, let me answer that question. The district has a contract with, The district has a contract with a company called Golden State Risk Management Association, GSRMA. And so we pay them a fee every year, and they manage our legal issues for claims that you're asking about. We are not privy to, at least I'm not privy to, any types of settlements that I can share. I do know that there was a settlement for an personnel-related issue, last calendar year, or maybe earlier this year, which of course I can't share. I'm not aware of any other issues of liability where we paid out over the past few months, but I will check. If for some reason something happened before I became general manager that I was not aware of, I will be able to report back what I can report back. I will go through the district's attorney, Dick Shanahan, to confirm whether or not I can report or not. Les, I see your comment on the screen. Were there any follow-up or related actions related to the BB gun incident? And not by us. We just issue a citation. We turn it over to the RMA and we move on. We do not, I'm not aware of any follow-up to that incident. And there's very seldom are we requested by the RMA to provide follow-up. When we turn over a citation to them, they take it from there. And I believe they take it to their compliance committee, but I'm not privy to all the workings of the RMA. So those are the two questions. Amelia, it looks like there's another message. Let's see what that is.
From Stephanie, I'm sorry, I think it's Bianchi. Is graffiti being reported to appropriate authorities prior to removal for documentation purposes?
I'll answer that one, Tom. Historically, the answer is yes. This graffiti did not qualify for any of that. So this particular time, it was not done. In the past, the district has been working with the Sheriff's Department. Anything else, Amelia?
It looks like that is the end of the comments. I believe I've read them all.
Thank you very much. Tom, does that conclude your security report?
No, there's one last page.
Okay, go ahead. Down,
we have to go through all these pages. It looks like it's on page, Amelia, page 93.
Very good.
And the RMA, we're reporting basically what the RMA gets from us in the form of our RMCSD violations that we wrote. And there was a question earlier in the life of these meetings is, are we sure that all of the statistics we're providing here in the RMA report are in conjunction with the district's reports? And the answer is yes, they're all here. I do want to say though, we're working with Tina and Amelia and our provider for our records management and gate operation system to develop some reports that are meaningful for activities here at the district. And I believe we provided it at the security meeting, some of the statistics that for our entry into the district for types of entries that go through the visitor gate. There was a request to talk about those who we denied entrance, and we're working with our vendor to add that function to our report. So that concludes the security discussion.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom. To the other board members, I just want to expand a little bit on what the GM talked about. It's and I stated it at the security committee meeting. It's really unconscionable for me at this point. We have a record management, data management system. We've had it for several years. And not an ounce of effort was really put into it to run reports and then correlate and confirm reports and processes and activities that we've done. Staff has now started that process. So once that becomes a dependable, robust system, the rest of the security reports are going to reflect those types of activities. And specifically on what the GM was talking about, we actually have some data and we can share with RMA moving forward on some items that can make everybody more efficient, i.e. CSD, gate officers, and RMA working forward. And so that's the goal. Like I said, it's troubling to me that we've had this system for several years and just no one has done anything with it to that extent. We're doing something with it and we're moving on. So Tom, thank you. Item 7D, utilities report. Paul, hi, how are you?
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Paul Stevenson, Director of Field Operations. Before I begin, I'd like to provide just an apology for my poor choice of words at the Improvements Committee, having said that the district and the RMA could use better quality water from Chesbrough so we wouldn't be held hostage by the Cosumnes Irrigation Association when water is needed at both the Anderson Ranch and Laguna Joaquin. Water use is complicated and contentious at times, and it was just a poor choice of words, and I apologized at the meeting, but just wanted to apologize again. That being
said, Paul, thank you for stating that. I understand. I have had my share of the spotlight on me when I make statements or say things. So I truly appreciate the professionalism of stating that. So with that, continue, please.
Thank you. So nothing really exciting going on the water treatment side of our things going on. Water plant number two is in sole operation right now with plant number one off so we can conduct winter maintenance. What that winter maintenance entails of is pulling out the ultrafiltration membrane modules and repairing broken fibers and the integrity of the system and the cleaning the facility and just making a few upgrades and fixes here and there, make sure it's in tip-top shape for spring and summer operation when we go full bore. As it relates to water conservation, you can see we basically did not have any. I apologize for my graph there. 2020 doesn't have a trend line on it. And I thought I had updated that. So whatever one made it into the packet didn't have my 2020 on there. So apologize for that. Double check that with staff next time when we publish this. But basically no savings. That's weather related. It was a relatively dry November, so people continue to use water. If you scroll down, Amelia, we have the water use data provided from the administration department. Instead of having Cindy put that in her packet, we were rolling that into my portion as it's water related. I highlighted the November data in a red box because this graph kind of goes from right to left. And so I could be a little more clear with that. As it relates to use data, it's pretty much on track as it was last year. It's compared to 2019's November. One thing of note here is that the connections, residential connections dropped based as it relates to previous months due to accidental double counting of the meters within the Murrieta Gardens development. As everyone knows, that that area is slated to use recycled water in the future, however, is currently using potable water. So we have potable water being billed through 2 meters for the usage. And it was accidentally double counted as actually having 2 connections, where in reality, it's 1 residence that's using water. And as it relates to water source, if you could scroll down, Amelia. Graph shows that we're continuing to draw down our reservoirs until we're ready to begin pumping again. We did get a little rain. However, as I like to repeat myself over the years, we let the first flush of the river system go by. It's part of our operations plan, and it's a recommendation by the Division of Drinking Water as well, so that like all the road runoff and organics that gets flushed down the river systems and creek systems and goes by our district, you don't want to catch that dirty water, you know, dirty in quotes there, as well as you don't want to pump muddy water because the muddy water can tear up your pumping systems and pipelines as well. So we typically wait until we get fresh, clean, clear water and then begin pumping, and we'll start filling our reservoirs. And hopefully that stays on track as it has in the past history of the district that we've been able to fill up by the end of our pumping season. As it rolls into the wastewater side of things, our influent wastewater flow averaged about 400,000 gallons a day, which is pretty typical. And we're continuing to draw, if you scroll down a little bit, Amelia, show the graph. This is a graph of our secondary storage reservoirs. This is where we collect all the wastewater that comes in through our secondary treatment pond process and then is stored during the winter months until such time we can turn on a reclamation plant and begin supplying reclaimed water to the golf course. And when there's potentially additional available, hopefully in the future, then to other places as well, such as Murrieta Gardens. If you could scroll down further, Amelia. We didn't have any issues in the sewer collection system this past month, thank goodness. Staff did a lot of work to make sure all the sewer lines were clean and clear and ready for Thanksgiving. We spent 111 man hours to clean over 22,000 feet of sewer line. So quite a bit of work was done, and kudos for staff for doing a lot of that work. It was really good. And on the drainage side of things, right now we're keeping everything in its natural state, no more weed whacking. Leaving vegetation in the natural state lets it catch and filter and slow down runoff during the winter months. And we're just removing fallen limbs and debris that get down into the drainage system with the rains when they show up or winds. And then we also had our consultant, Stratus Environmental Inc., conduct their illicit discharge and detection and elimination inspections at the commercial sites throughout the district. That went well. Just some of the commercial people were just confused as to why they were doing this work, but everybody understands why. And it's fulfilling a requirement of our MS4 permit with the State Water Resources Control Board. And as it relates to meter work, not too much was done this past month. However, next month, we anticipate doing quite a bit of work in some of our proactive meter replacements. But we did have four water leaks that were repaired in November, keeping staff pretty busy. And so staff is also preparing to replace fire hydrants as part of our CIP project. So they have the materials they need for the projects. They're just waiting for good weather. We hope to have started it this week, but the weather kind of threw a curveball into that. And I saw a comment pop up.
Yes, from Les Clark. The point that Paul just made regarding drainage watershed maintenance should be brought up to RMA so they are aware.
Yes, I believe they are aware, especially on the maintenance side of, I've spoken with them in regards to that. So thank you for that comment. Moving on with the projects, the development projects for the Retreats East and North project, the project reports it's being redesigned by the developer. However, the district doesn't have anything in regards to that information as to what's being redesigned. For the Rancho North development, project reports that they intend to complete their traffic mitigation study by the end of the month and a greenhouse gas study in January, and then submit their notice of preparation in January. And the Murrieta Marketplace, there's really no update there. Murrieta Gardens Legacy Villas and Suites, the submitted plans have been signed off by Coastland. And so that project could be potentially moving forward. We haven't gotten any schedule as it relates to that project. On Murrieta Gardens Lot 10, as of when I wrote this update, there was no update. However, Coastland did provide some comments back to the project as the project was requesting some information. For Murrieta Gardens Lot 9, the developer reports that this project has been approved by CPAC and design review updates have been submitted to Sacramento County. For Murrieta Gardens Lot 11, really no update there. Plans have nearly been completed, and there were some comments and back and forth between Coastland and the project's engineer. Murrieta Business Park, really no update as it relates to district related items. However, they're continuing to complete their buildings as shown in the packet here, that photo. No update on the Murrieta Hills East project. And for Riverview, quite a bit of work going on with that project with review of their phasing plans. Phase 1B plans were submitted and comments provided back. A lot of detail and time spent looking at those plans. There's a lot going on there. And also we provided staff provided information and closed circuit television footage of a downstream sewer line that's going to be impacted from this site. We have some concerns as it relates to an issue that's continuing down on where this connection is going to be occurring. So that's being reviewed by the project developers, engineers, and Coastland's engineer as well. And I've chimed in on my comments and we've had a meeting on it and just waiting for some feedback on that. And that's it. Any questions?
I do have one question from Ms. Linda Butler.
It might be more than one. Hi, Paul. Hello. I was just curious. We've had some, not a great number, but a few issues with the drainage in the wintertime. There's some known problem areas. Do you feel good about the fact that those areas have been taken care of?
Currently, I don't believe we have any major issues of concern as it relates to flows in the system. So I don't have any concerns as it relates to that. We resolved an issue as it relates to what we are going to do as a district on one of those areas. And the resident there said they were going to, as part of that agreement, do some work, and they have yet to do any of that work. So if there are any issues, it is completely on that resident.
So any problems are not on CSD's plate, so to speak?
Correct.
Okay. And I just had a quick question about the Riverview project. That is, appreciate the information that you have. Is there going to be more detailed information available about what the problems were or how they're resolved?
Yes, I will provide an update to next month's improvements committee when I have more information. As I mentioned, there's a downstream sewer line that exists, and it may be a design issue that it's just been an ongoing issue from when the system was installed. But I don't have any detail as to whether it really is a design issue or not. It's my personal opinion it is. And so I'm just waiting for feedback from the engineers, and then I will report that back out at the improvements committee, and that should be in the packet then.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, thank you.
No other hands raised, no questions.
Yeah, Tim, it's John. I have a comment or a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Go ahead. For Paul, when I look at Paul, and this is qualitative as opposed to quantitative, perhaps, and it comes from, you know, my 30 years of riding around and walking around Calero. I've had people comment to me, and I've noted and taken pictures of it historically several years, that Calero never appears to have been drawn down to a level at which it has arrived this year. And your graph kind of indicates that. It's actually raw storage is at a low point, really going back, not by much, but back to 2015. And I'm just wondering how we got there. And the other part of this that has always bothered me or confused me is the overall amount of water we have dictated that is actually stored in that reservoir. And I've asked repeatedly over many, many years if anybody really understood after they dug it out in the late 70s, how they effectively measured how much water we've really stated over the years is in there. At some point, I'd like to consider maybe now in the age of drones and the technology that we have, really understanding on all three of those reservoirs how much water is really in there. Part of what confuses me too is I understand that with Calero, particularly historically and rightfully so, you have drawn it down to Chesboro, you know, to get ready for filling it up once the river hits the 70 cubic feet a second. So I expected one of two things that happened there. Number one, you know, I rode down to Chesboro and it was not particularly at its brim. In other words, it was not full as well. And I understand that there may be significant impact or more impact over the last couple of years from evaporation. And I'm wondering what perhaps is the impact of the drawdown of the initial development that we've now had over the last couple of years. So as we go forward, I'd like to kind of pay attention to that and see what really it all means. But, and again, it's qualitatively, but I've had a lot of people who who have been around a long time agree with me. I've never seen that lake this low.
So if I may, in next month's report, I will show not just a couple months or a couple years view of the reservoirs in a graph. I will show a historical view that I have as well. It'll be a little busy, and I will also do that for the sewer side of things. It's a telling picture when you see the graphs, especially on the sewer side of things. So I will show that information and can provide it. And as it relates to how we determine the water that's in there, the reservoirs were surveyed and we use that survey data to determine the reservoir levels as it relates to elevations within their reservoirs with an operations plan. So I can report this all back at next month's improvements committee or and at the board meeting as well.
Super, that'd be terrific. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. John, thank you for your comments. Paul, I was just going to say, yeah, we work it back through the improvements committee, and then if they want to add, delete, modify, or what have you, then we can do that for the board packet. So for that, thank you. Amelia, do you have any hands, questions, chats?
None.
Okay, not hearing or seeing any. I do have one that I just saw a chat. Paul, and this go for Tom as well. As we're moving forward with the Riverview project, is there any items that come up for us in specific that we deal with on the temporary trail that is in place currently and dealing with any of the tentative, either permanent or temporary trail as a development moves forward?
I'd like to chime in on that. For what I know, the RMA is primarily engaged with the developer of the Riverview project. Our concern would be when it comes to things like evacuation plans and stuff like that, our involvement as a security division to help identify what we see as choke points and then making sure that we're available when there are issues or exercises for helping direct traffic in the right direction. I don't believe we have any other involvement in that process except as an advisory to whatever the RMA is doing or whatever the fire safety folks are up to.
Because again, I mean, we're responsible for any type of security violations and those types of things. And again, when it was put in, everyone knew it was a temporary trail because it doesn't meet some of the widths and those types of things. So no, that's fine. That answers my question. So thank you. Paul, anything else?
Nothing, sir.
Tim, I have some to add, and Paul can comment on this. Last month at the board meeting, we surplused about 4 vehicles, and Paul worked very diligently with the Children's Home of Sacramento.
Sacramento Children's Home, correct.
Is that correct, Paul?
The words are correct, just wrong order. Sacramento Children's Home.
So Paul worked with them to donate the vehicles because they had zero value except as scrap. And we attempted to work with the local Kiwanis Club, but they're not set up for that type of donation at this time. But hopefully in the future, they could be, because we run these vehicles into the ground. And by the time we're done and we want to surplus them, they literally have zero value. One of them was minus an engine and parts of the wheels and stuff like that. So I wanted to commend Paul on his work to make that happen.
Thank you.
Very good. Yes, Paul, thank you for squeezing the last bit of value out of some of those items. So that says a lot, and thank you very much for that. That closes out item number 7. Moving on, Amelia, to item number 8, review district meeting date times. If there are any conflicts, please, board members, contact Amelia and we can work back through staff. But otherwise, there's where everything is set. Even though they're still a year away, Amelia likes planning ahead, so we're a year out. So that takes me through item 8. Item 9, correspondence, board members in the packet. You received some correspondence on December 2nd. In light of what the GM has updated us with the RMA, it appears it's a non-issue from the CSD standpoint. So I don't see any action or anything that needs to take place with that correspondence. Any comments from the GM or directors?
I have no comment, Tim. This
okay, thank you. Closing out item 9, moving on to item 10, comments from the public that haven't been put on the agenda. Board is willing to give access to comments from the public. Amelia, do you have any hands, chats, paper airplanes?
I do not have any movement at all.
Okay. Let's move on to item 11. Consider adoption resolution R-2020-08, resolution declaring results of the November 3rd election. It's a discussion action item. I am asking for a second.
So you make the motion to approve this resolution, adopt this resolution?
Yes, I thought that's how I started it out. So let me clarify. I'm making a motion. So I need a second.
Second.
Thank you.
Director Janko. President Mabee?
Aye.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Lincoln?
Yes.
Director Pohl?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. Item number 12, committee assignments. They're listed on here. It looks good to me. So unless board has any comments, we're moving on to item 13. Not seeing or hearing, review monthly utility billing delinquencies and consider reinstatement of late fees, interest on delinquent accounts. This is going to be from the GM. I know that we've had prior discussion on this at different committee levels. So, Tom, it's on to you, please.
Thank you, Tim. Basically, we had brought this item to the board a couple months ago, and we were asked to hold off until the new year after the holidays. The background is when the COVID issue became a issue back in March, the state declared a situation whereby we were not allowed to turn off water meters for non-payment of the bills, amongst many other things the governor imposed on us. And at the same time, the district decided that it would be in the interest of our customers to also eliminate the charging of delinquencies and interest on past due accounts. As time has gone on, we've started to build quite a balance, $47,506 worth of overdue amounts as of December 10th and 48 delinquent accounts. And we're recommending that the district, that the board approve the reinstatement of the practice of applying delinquency fees for unpaid bills and then interest on the unpaid amounts. What we're recommending we do is that beginning with the January 25th billing cycle, we start charging the 10% delinquent fee on those amounts that happen to occur at the January 25th cycle, and that we start charging interest on all the overdue amounts that were occurred during the months of July through December. So that is what we're requesting, so we can start working with our customers with a little bit more, authority to help people start getting caught up on their bills. We don't want to have so many of these bills go unpaid into June, and then at which time then we would end up having to take those delinquent amounts and put them on to the county tax roll in July and August. So we're requesting that the board approve the beginning of charging the reinstatement of charging delinquent fees and interest with the January 25th, 2021 billing cycle. Questions, comments?
I got that, Tom, thank you. I know that there was some conversation. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. I'm making a recommendation, a motion, sorry, that we enter into the recommendation of staff. What I'd like to do is get a second, then we can have some discussion, and then we can vote on it. So that is my motion. Can I have a second, please?
Yeah, okay. John, I'll do that, Tim.
Okay, thank you. So now we're in the discussion phase. Tom, I know there was some conversation at the Finance Committee, and I just want to confirm for those residents that want to enter into some type of payment plan that basically kind of is a snapshot, and that's where it sits, because we've agreed mutually between the residents and the district that this is going to be the payment plan. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So my point is, and we heard Cindy say that they continue to call people and reach out. I think we formalized that process. You and I have had discussion on this. You did a great job with the lock-offs, being proactive on that. So, and that was last year, the year before. So thank you. I think we formalized how we get a hold of these people and truly explain to them it's to their benefit to get into some type of payment schedule plan. If they choose not to, that, I mean, I'm fine with that as well. We'll have a policy and a procedure moving forward, and we can go from there. So that's my thoughts. Board members, any other thoughts?
Yeah, it's John, Tim. I just wanted to add to that. We had a discussion, too, about the fact that by booking these penalties and interests, when we do run into a situation down the road when we're going to turn it over to the county, that we're actually recovering that entire amount.
Perfect. No, I understand that. And I think we just, again, customer service in this area, staff has just excelled at. And so truly, thank you. And it's appreciated by the board members. As we move forward with this, I think we just formalize it and we just really make sure the resident understands the two choices they have. And again, that's their choice, and I'm okay with that. So not hearing anything else, Amelia, could you do a roll call vote, please? Amelia, hello? Hello?
She's in the office, so there shouldn't be
an issue. One time you can't hear me, huh?
What? I wasn't saying anything. That was Janko.
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you. Oh, no, don't need him.
Okay, thank you. Moving forward, item 14, consider ad hoc committee assignments for negotiations about the amendment to the 1987 agreement among the CIA, RMPI, and CSD regarding the Grangless Dam, CIA Canal, and the water rights pertaining thereto. So this is a discussion and action item. So Tom, I'll turn it over to you and then we'll move forward.
Yes, this is something we've been talking about for quite some time, and we don't have a memo to discuss it. What we want to do is enter into a negotiation with the CIA folks and start taking a look at what this agreement needs to look like going forward. The CIA is the Contumacious Irrigation Association, and it involves three partners. And one partner is the district, and the other two partners are the ranches and such on the east or the west side of the district who participate in the water that comes through the CIA ditch. And the agreement is pretty complicated. And over the years, the district is accountable to help pay for a number of repairs and such on the CIA ditch, as well as the Granley's Dam. And we participate in charging for the water and billing for it. And it's complicated, and it deserves another look and a rehashing at this point in time to see if it's in the best interest of all three members of the CIA association and the district. So without being able to talk about it clearly, we need to get out there and try to devise a new agreement that is in the best interest of the district as well as in the best interest of the other two members. A lot has happened since 1984, 1987, and we just want to take a look at this and hopefully renegotiate it to be in the best interest of all the parties. I know I'm kind of rambling, but that's kind
no,
of
that's fine, Tom. So I can't imagine how, if anything, would have changed since 1987. But with that said, you hit it right on the head. This is a multifaceted. It's a fiscal issue. It's an improvements issue. It's really a communities issue. Hence, it's going to fall over to some of the comments directors made and residents made about the midge fly and just all those other things. I'm going to go out on a limb off of my memory. I believe we were looking at somebody from finance, and I believe it was Director Merchant, somebody from improvements, and it was Director Jenko. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So to the rest of the board, and I don't think it's not a motion, we'll just approve the ad hoc committee. Basically, it's going to work back through our two committees. And this ad hoc committee can reach across boundaries and with other community stakeholders. So board members, my thought is going with staff and putting this ad hoc committee together. It is going to take us, I mean, ideally, Tom, I'd like this done by the end of the fiscal cycle, but I don't even think that is really going to be realistic, but we'll have a better idea and we can do some fiscal planning. So I open it up to the other board members, please.
Tim, it's John. We've done a lot of this work already. It's just complicated by the fact that we, without formally creating this ad hoc committee, we got to get tangled up with the Brown Act. So it just cleans it up, makes it easy. If in fact the board's pleasure is to put Randy and I on this together with Tom, it makes it easier for us to communicate with each other without, again, getting tangled up in Brown Act requirements.
No, understand. It's more efficient and we can just formalize it. Any other board members?
I'm okay being on this committee as long as Tim doesn't show up and claim to be me and, you know, gum the whole thing up.
I had some static there, Amelia. So I believe the consensus we have is Director Merchant and Jenko are willing to be on the ad hoc committee. So we just need to formalize that through our communication process moving forward.
Very good. I will. Oh, and Miss Linda Butler does. Director Butler.
Yes, has, go ahead.
I just wanted to suggest that when we speak of the owners of the CIA ditch, that we start using their formal names. We know Rancho Murrieta Community Service District, but the other two parts are of ownership have a formal corporate names, I understand. So my suggestion is we use those names.
Director Butler, I understand, and I think moving forward, as we start formalizing things, we're going to start seeing some documents that are really going to be formalized documents. And so, yeah, we'll get all that spelled out because, again, Some might know what the acronyms are, but yeah, so we'll get all that taken care of. Tom's already kind of talked about that already, so we're on the same page there. All right, moving on from 14 to item 15. Paul, I believe this is you. You want to be Santa Claus to somebody and spend some money, Paul?
Not quite Santa Claus in this, but this was also approved within the consent calendar from the Improvements Committee. So I don't know if I need to cover this again. However, I will. If somebody could comment on that, if I need to go through this again.
No, I don't think you do. You know, the only thing, and maybe I should have brought it up in finance, and I don't want you to do a ton of work on this. I know you always put a 15% contingency in. There's a part of me that just wants to know, are we 50-50, maybe 10% of that using the contingency fund? Basically, how close do we come in? And again, don't put any effort. You can just send me a note sometime with just a gut level. If we're within the ballpark a majority of the time, just
I can comment really quickly on that. I usually never get into the contingency. The only time we did is with the water plant expansion project because that was a massive project.
Perfect. Thank you very much. It says a lot for staff. So with that being said, I'm going to make a motion. Consider sole source approval for purchase of the Tesco controls for the chlorine tanks, chlorine gas to bleach conversion. It's capital improvement project 18-07-02. Could I have a second?
A second.
Oh, go ahead. I think we woke up Director Martin there. So we have a second. Amelia, would you do a roll call, please?
Okay. President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Board. Thank you, Amelia. Item 16, consider approval for the NJ McEwen proposal for East Dissolved Air Flotation, also known as your DAF, your DAF, air quotes, saturation tank replacement. So, Director Butler, I have no idea what you're talking about on all these abbreviations, not knowing them. Come on. I think this goes back to...
Yes, so this is another item on my plate. Again, this was also taken to the Improvements Committee and approved there within the consent calendar. However, I was going to provide follow-up because there was a potential another option instead of replacing this saturation tank that's has failed. We were looking at potentially replacing a pump system that could function in place of the tank. However, there's going to be a lot of modifications needed to make that pump system work, including electrical modifications. And after checking on references, we found out that the pump needs to be rebuilt every 2 to 3 years at a substantial cost. So it did not seem like a good way to go. So therefore, taking forward this to the board for NJ McCutcheon to replace the saturation tank at the East DAF. The exact same thing was done at the West DAF a few years ago for the same reason. Any questions?
So Paul, this is another one of the discussions you had down in the Improvements Committee?
Correct.
And then I'm good, Tim.
Yes, thank you. I'm almost thinking, with this Improvements Committee, we might have to send somebody from the Finance Committee over there. These guys' checkbook is wide open. With that being said, I have the motion, as I stated earlier. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Amelia, could you do a roll call, please?
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Butler.
Yes.
And Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amelia. Moving on to item 17, director comments, suggestions. I'll open up to the other board members, please. Not really hearing any, and it being so close to Christmas, I would just like to reiterate to staff, the board understands the workloads, the commitment levels. It's much appreciated. The residents understand that. We're hearing from the GM now. He's talking about team building, leadership education, those types of things. That's pretty exciting. So with that, I think that do kudos goes to leadership and staff at all levels. With that, my most sincere happy holidays, Merry Christmas to everyone at CSD and the residents. Not hearing anything else, Amelia. If we don't have anything, then we're good to go.
Just Mr. saying thank you. Happy holidays, everyone.
Very good. That's a good
one. Kelly Wilder says the same thing. Happy holidays, everyone.
Very good. It's a great way to end it. Board, thank you again for all your work, time, and effort. Tom, as best as possible, happy holidays, Merry Christmas to the family. This is going to be adjournment. I'd like a motion for item 18. My motion is to adjourn. Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Amelia, roll call.
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
He already went.
I think yes.
I did not leave. I am here.
Yes. He's already sliding down the chimney on the way out of this meeting. So okay.
And Director Paul, one last roll call.
Hi, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
All right. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.